Hello, everybody. Before we start this interview with Tim Jacobus, I just wanted to quickly remind you all that if you would like to order a print or sketch from Tim himself, you can go and visit his website at jacobusstudios.com. Tim has a dozen prints of Goosebumps and sketches and more, and he's hoping to add more prints as it goes on. And each order gets $10 donated to his local food shelter to help out the ones in need. Now, enjoy the program. Welcome back to another episode of the Everything Horror Podcast. My name is Paul Doski, and with us is a legendary guest, as I may say. Well, at least to me, because he was part of my childhood growing up that helped with some book series, which I don't want to say just yet. But, I mean, it was basically the childhood of terror, basically. Like, it just didn't make you want to grab a blanket and a flashlight and read it under there. Then I don't know what you've been doing for the past 30 years or whatever age you are. So without further ado, this is the original artist for Goosebumps and everything else that we will talk about. But this is Tim. Tim, welcome aboard.
Hey, Paul, what's happening? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. And it's been one of those days, I guess. other than that, man, I mean, you know, what is it? Goosebumps just celebrated its 30th anniversary. There was a lot going on there. You have done numerous amount of covers, and you've even done a cover for a book series that I'll get into later on. As far as I know, you only did one for them. But anyway, enough of rambling for me. But Tim, for those that sort of just know you for just, you know, the artwork behind the books of Goosebumps, what can you tell us about yourself? Because one last thing real quick is you did have a book entitled It Came From New Jersey, which is rare as shit to find nowadays.
Yeah, that one's real rare.
So without further ado, who is Tim?
All right, I am Tim Jacobus. I am a illustrator. I went to art school to become a book illustrator. I'm best known for doing the original classic Goosebumps series, which had 62 covers in it. I did many covers after that for Goosebumps, so I've done over 100 Goosebumps covers. Besides the Goosebumps series, I've done probably another 200 books, all not series work, but individual stuff. So I've stopped counting. You know, once you get to numbers like that, it doesn't matter anymore. I did lots and lots and lots of book covers. I'm over 60 years old. I started doing this when I was I got my first book cover when I was in my mid to late 20s. And I was lucky enough to be able to continue to do this for all these years, and it's been a lot of fun. And just to touch on this, you know, because this is the reason I'm here, is I went to school with a bunch of really fantastic artists, and you know, I've met some other guys, you know, over the years who are in the same business, and none of us got into this to have people know our names. You know, we just did this because we love to do it, and it's kind of an isolated business. You stay at home and you do it on your own, and the notoriety that came from being with Goosebumps is is real different, you know, and it's nice. I'm by no means am I saying I'm, you know, that I'm complaining on any, you know, at any level. And, but it's very cool to have work that, that people recognize.
Yes. And you know what's sad of too is like, well, not sad, but like, honestly, when you first start to think about reading and stuff, you don't really necessarily, well, sometimes you do, but sometimes you kind of forget, like, there's an artist involved. Like, I know, like, when you're a kid, you know, you're just like, oh, it's a book, like, it is cover, oh my god. Like, I remember the first Goosebumps book I ever picked up was The Return of the Mummy. And it was just the cover art alone. But after that, it was like, you know, with R.L. Stein and writing, you kind of just get lost in your own little world. But I guess what I'm trying to also say is, you know, sometimes you kind of forget to even look at who is the artist so you can appreciate what else they have done.
Yeah, yeah. And what was nice is if, let's just, in an alternate universe, R.L. Stein only writes one or two Goosebumps books, he would have never bothered to figure out who I was. It was just that after, you know, month after month, cover after cover, all of a sudden you've got a little art gallery going on your bookshelf. And that's when you know, that's when us artists start to get some attention. It's, we're just drawing attention to the books, not to ourselves. And all we want you to do is get your attention good enough to get you to pick that thing up. And if I can get you to pick that book up, I've done my job. It's RL's job after that.
Well, that's fair enough. And you do have some like interesting artwork covers, which you have a funny story behind one or two. I remember one specifically, but real quick, since you brought up an interesting topic here real quick. So one of the books that I also know you from, because of the fact of it reminded me of Goosebumps in a way of the cover art alone, but the cover style is what I should say. But I mean, you doing it too is also a plus. I mean, it was great to see your name in that too, but it was I'm probably gonna butcher the publisher's name, but it's like Bard Press. They did a four book series so far for Frightland.
Yes,
and you did one of them. And
I did one,
you know,
of the covers for that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Oh crap. I can't even remember the title right now. But it was basically one.
I think it was called The Wild Man, or the character on the cover was The Wild Man, and it was a Sasquatch, Bigfoot type character. And I loved working with those guys. I know that they were trying to get that thing going, and I know they put out a number of covers. And you never know, maybe down the road we'll be doing another. But that was fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, and you know, shout out to them too, because that was great. I actually loved it too. So obviously, I got all four books at the
time. Oh, good, cool. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read them, so that's good to hear. I only usually when I'm working on these things, the stories aren't done, and I can get a synopsis about what it's about, or you know, sometimes I get a chapter. So that's great to hear that it delivered.
I speaking of which, like from what you just said, so they sent us like a little preview of it, kind of unfinished, like the grammar wasn't the greatest, but they let us use this much information, like a chapter, I want to say, or two chapters, and we were able to write a little review for them. So it was nice to even do that. But I mean, just the fact that, you know, like, once again, I like, you know, your name was right there, and I'm just like, you know, like, I'm on board now.
So did they let you, so how did you get to put your 2 cents worth in? Because you were part of the fundraising, or because you run this podcast, or how did they reach out to you to get your opinion?
I actually reached out to them because besides the podcast, we do have like a little site where we like the review and
cool.
review thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they actually wrote back to me and basically said, yeah, we can show you, but just know this is not all the way finished. Like, you know, the grammar is not touched up. And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm not too worried about that, but I would love to help, you know, help you guys out. So, yeah, so that's how they basically did it. They sent me, like, that small little piece.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm assuming, though, going off of that with, like, the little synopsis or chapters, is that how it worked with you, though? Like, so, I guess what I'm trying to say is that how you would create the covers? Is just by the synopsis?
Yeah. So, when Goosebumps got started, the only book that was semi-complete was the very first one, which was called Welcome to Dead House. And RL had gotten kind of a jump on that one before I was selected to do that cover. And so there was a good solid, you know, full chapter for me to read and get a feel for it. As we got going, being that all I have to do is create the cover, he's got to write a whole book. I can move a little faster than he can. So I caught up to him pretty fast. So actually, he would just give me, you know, a paragraph, a couple of sentences, always gave me the title because he can't work. He always creates the title first. And that's what I got to work with. And it's not typical. Usually there's a book that's relatively complete, done before the artist gets involved when you're working with a standard publisher. But we were moving quickly, and that's what I got. And from an artistic point of view, that's kind of a better way to go, because more information that you hand me, the more specific information that you give me, I'm compelled to put that information in because you wrote it. This is, you know, my job is to get it as close to that writing as possible. So, it was, so without all that detail, it kind of freed me up to, you know, kind of create a lot of the stuff on my own. And, I think it worked. Only a couple times did we go off the rails and I went in one direction and the story went in another.
Perfect. And it's kind of going into that, speaking of which, one of the funny tales that I remember from a live stream thing that you did with RL is you were mentioning the cover for Revenge of the Lawn Gnomes. Where you had one of them picking his nose.
Yeah, the original gnome was picking his nose. When I first turned it in, everybody, you know, like it went over big. There was no complaints. Everybody was laughing. That's hilarious. We love that. And as it got closer to the time to go to print and get these books delivered, somebody stepped in and said, listen, you know, I like it too, but we are sending this into all the middle schools and grammar schools all around the country. So maybe we don't want to be encouraging nose picking. And so I pulled his finger out of his nose and put it upside his head. So he just looks like he's scratching his head now. That's not a big change. That was pretty easy. So I got away good.
Okay, yeah, that's always a good one. I want to say the other one that you mentioned, and I think this was the last one that I remember hearing, but it was Say Cheese and Die.
Say Cheese and Die. Yeah, that was the story I'm going to tell. I didn't find out about this until just a few years ago. So when I created it, I thought it was, you know, like I thought it was one of the, I still think it's a good piece of artwork. Don't get me wrong. I really like the art. I think it came out good. So for anybody who doesn't quite remember the Goosebumps stuff by title, it was a Say Cheese and Die was about the kids found a camera, and if you got your picture taken with the camera, bad things happened to you. So the art director and I discussed what we were going to do. And so, again, this was pre-cell phone days. So, you know, we all took pictures with cameras, and I decided, let's make a Polaroid, and we'll have an image of a family who's out barbecuing, except in the picture, they're all dead and they're skeletons. So, you know, say cheese and die. This will work. And we're like, yeah, that's great. That's great. Let's do that. And that was also, I forget what book number it was. It was one of the early covers, you know, maybe it was book 4. But I started to notice that these weren't just scary books. These also had a comic element to them. You know, there was something funny to them. And of course, as soon as I heard the title, Say Cheese and Die, you know, that's a half a joke right there to start with. So I started to okay, I get it. Instead of just being pure horror, let's keep these things, try to make them a little bit lighter. And so when I did Say Cheese and Die, I thought I kind of like nailed it. And so fast forward 20 years, and I'm with RL, and I think we were at a bookstore the first time I heard this story, and they delivered that painting to him, and he's like, "Well, yeah, that's really a nice piece of artwork, but there's no family of skeletons barbecuing anywhere in my story." And he's going, "What am I supposed to do with this?" And they said, "Well, it's a lot harder for Tim to change the artwork than it is for you to write something else. So you need to write something else." So when you go back and read the book, he's annoyed as anything, but somewhere in the middle of the book, he had to put in a dream sequence, and that says, there was a family of skeletons. And he was annoyed. I always thought it was such a good piece. Now I don't look at that artist so fondly anymore.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good one. Yeah, to go back and put a gene sequence. It's been a while since I've actually read the book, but like with some of the newer ones now, I've been kind of reading them too and going back to some of the old ones. Right. Speaking of which, I just refinished watching the original Goosebumps TV series.
Yeah. It's way more fun watching them now than when they first came out in the 90s.
Yes and no, I guess. Like back in the day.
That's true. Okay, I'm gonna change it because we're both looking at it from a different perspective. You were young.
Yep.
And, you know, when they first came out, I was a grown man when they first came out, and they were fine. I liked them. You know, they were cool, but that was let's call it state of the art TV. That was just what it was. Now to watch them 30 years later, you go, oh, they hardly had any money. The budget is, you know, the clothes, the budget, the dialogue, it's fantastic. It's such a time capsule about what was going on back then. And I love watching them now.
Yeah, like a good example would be like Welcome to Dead House. You know, like that was a brilliant episode I should say, because they did them in two parts back then.
Exactly. Yeah, all of them. There's something good in all of them.
Oh, yes. The only one that threw me off a little bit was Night of the Living Dummy 3, because I feel like the dummy that they had for that didn't match the cover like the way Slappy looked. Yeah. It was kind of like, who is this?
Yeah. Well, that happened in a number of them, because again, there was a real budget limitation. And when I'm creating the art on the covers, I had nobody said there was going to be a TV series. So I'm not thinking, don't make something that flies, because they're not going to be able to make anything fly on that budget. So they had to, you know, either alter the story or alter my artwork to get it to work. But that's cool too, because I like the idea that, you know, some of the stories are different than the book. or some of the TV shows are different than the book.
Yeah, it would almost like they took their own take on it and spinned it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked. I mean, it's perfect when creators are have that freedom to really put in their own two cents, as I may say.
Yep.
So it's fun. And, you know, so I guess, Tim, like, so how did you even, like, get into, like, the, I get the book world of, like, doing covers? Like, did you reach out to publishers first, or, like?
Well, so when I went to art school, I knew I wanted to do illustrations, and illustrations were, you know, they were pop, you know, again, a lot more publications, a lot more magazines. So kind of at the beginning, I was always thinking, well, maybe magazines. I always wanted to do album covers. And then I thought books too, but I was really, you know, again, I was thinking album covers would be where it would be really cool. And when I got into my final year at art school, they were always changing professors and teachers. And one of my instructors who came in was a book illustrator, and he did, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, horror stuff. And his name's Paul Stinson. The guy's amazing, you know, and just mind-blowing artwork. And when I was seeing what he was doing, I was like, oh, that's it. That's what I want to do. And he took a liking to me, which was great. And, you know, he, you know, guided me quite a bit at the beginning and, you know, gave me pointers. And, you know, it went from something that was, you know, that was outside or unattainable to something that he was doing and talked about it as, this is what I do every day. So it took on a, you know, oh, this is doable. This is real. This is not a, you know, this isn't a fantasy. So that's what got me sparked. He actually, right at graduation, he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Get your portfolio together. And where I grew up and where I went to art school is only, it's less than an hour outside of Manhattan. It's not far out. And he said, what I want you to do is get your portfolio together. He goes, I forget, you know, it was a random weekday. You know, we're going into the city on Wednesday. I have to go see an art director. I have to deliver a painting. And I want you to come with me, bring your portfolio, and the art director will take a look at your portfolio. But that's not the point to going. I want you to just come and watch and go, oh, this is how I, you know, I want to show you how I interact with an art director, what it's like to go in, what art directors say. He goes, you're not going to get a job. That's not, this isn't a job interview. And, you know, just it's part of the experience and making you more comfortable. So when you go to an art director's office on your own, it won't be the first time you're there and you'll be a little bit more comfortable. And it was, you know, it was very enlightening, you know, to see the most mind-blowing or intimidating thing about going into this guy's office was back then, no digital art. So all art was on canvases and illustration boards, and, you know, everything was tangible. And all around this guy's office were fantastic artwork, just leaning against, you know, on the floor, leaning against the wall in piles, you know, 10 deep, and, you know, and 10 this way, and then 10 down the other. You know, there were literally hundreds of pieces of artwork in his office, and just going down and looking at them, everyone was greater than the next one. So all right away, you're just going, oh, my God, the talent that is just coming through this one man's office is mind-boggling. So the guy looked at my portfolio, and basically he said a lot of really nice things, and it was very helpful. But the takeaway was, okay, you did good in art school. These are nice pieces, but it looks like a art school portfolio. So if you want to come into the city and look like a real illustrator, all your art has to look like a paperback book cover. You can't show them something and then make them go, oh, well, I can kind of imagine that what it's going to look like. So size, dimensions, everything has to look like a book cover. So I went home after that and spent a long time. It probably took me, I think I saved one painting out of my school portfolio, and then I did a whole bunch of other ones, and it probably took me 18 months to 2 years to get those together, and then went back to the city and tried again, and eventually got that first book cover. So going back to what your original question was, that was, you know, having that instructor was a real that was a real linchpin in getting me started.
Wow. Now, so that's a great way to start it, to get into the business. Now, when it came down though to, like, you know, Scholastic looking for the cover artist, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Like, did you hear about it somehow, or did they somehow find you to reach out?
So, by the time Goosebumps came out, I had been doing book covers for a couple of years, you know, not a lot, probably 5 years or less, but I had worked, with people at Scholastic, and I had done a few covers for them, and, I had, proved myself to be, consistent. You know, my artwork was, there wasn't like, well, that one's good and that one kind of sucks and that one doesn't look like the, you know, like my work was consistent and I was dependable. So when Goosebumps came along, I had just finished up another cover. I'd done a lot of single jobs, you know, no series work. And I had done some kids' books, and I had done some mystery books, and they said, well, you kind of know how to do the mystery and you kind of know how to do the kids. I know you haven't done any horror, but you know, this doesn't seem like it's an impossibility. So they included me with a handful of other people to discuss, okay, let's see who we can pick for this. And they narrowed it down to two guys, me and another artist named Jim Thiessen. And I got a chance to do book number one, Welcome to Dead House. And he did book number two, Stay Out of the Basement. And so then when they got those two, and they said, you know, now you got to remember, there were no grand plans for Goosebumps at the beginning. Nobody thought it was going to be a big seller. So the idea that him and I were, you know, trying out for, you know, the cover artist, it was the only thing we were going to win was maybe doing two more covers or four more covers. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to go on for years and years and years and make millions of dollars. So when they got the two back, there was a real fear that the Goosebumps stuff was going to be too scary. And the only real difference between my art and Jim's art was I used all those saturated colors. And, you know, that became, you know, very typical in the Goosebumps series. And I had like using all the rich, you know, purples and greens and blues and yellows, and, you know, like where typical horror stuff is very muted and can be real dark. And if you look at that Stay Out of the Basement cover, it's not as vibrant. And so at the last minute they said, yeah, you know what, this, I like the colors that Tim used, let's let him do the couple of covers that we need for Goosebumps. And so, you know, my use of color is kind of what got me started.
Very nice. You know, I'll touch on you for a minute about colors. Like, one of my favorite covers that you did is Werewolf of Fever Swamp. I just love the vibrance of the green, the gray, the blue, like everything about it just is like, you know, like I love it. Like, I just love it. I'm trying to remember. Haunted Mask is a good one. With the way you use some of the darker colors to go into the vibrant green to make the mask more like realistic looking.
Yeah.
And I love R.L. Stine's story behind that story, based off his son or something like that, where he got his Halloween mask stuck. So how did R.L. put it? Instead of helping him like a father should have, he quickly ran to jot it down so he wouldn't forget. I love it.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So Tim, like, so real quick too. Is there any covers of Goosebumps? I mean, probably Say Cheese and Die is one of them, possibly for this question. But if you could go back to one of the Goosebumps covers, you know, which one would like to, if you could, change it? Like, if you feel...
That's a good question. One of the ones that I'd like to redo... So there is a book out that might be, well, again, it's another one that's hard to find. And there's a book that came out last year called The Art of Goosebumps. And it's a collection of all the covers that I did for the Goosebumps series. But the part that's new to the book owner or the book reader is all the sketches that I did for each cover. So I always did three different concepts for each of the covers, and they would pick one, and I would do that cover. So there's, in an alternate universe, there's two other possible Goosebumps covers that could have appeared on any one of the Goosebumps books. And most of the times we pick the one I like the best anyway, but the one that I wish I could have redone, and I didn't do any other, like, they did pick the best of the sketches, but the one, Go Eat Worms. And, you know, like, now I know how I would do it. I would do it differently, and the worm would be way more up front. One of the worms would be way more up front and way more menacing. And, you know, I think it could have been way more dramatic. So that's one that just pops into my head.
Go Eat Worm. That was that's a good one. That one had some, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say the worms had almost like a purplish.
That's it. Yeah. They were purple worms coming out of a notebook. And but I think, what, you know, like, the notebook part was fine and having the other worms there, but there should have been one more that was the dominant one that was in your face. And I think I could have made it slimy and all that good stuff that makes for a good Goosebumps covers.
That's fair enough. Is there a Goosebumps cover, or it could be regular, or excuse me, let me rephrase that. Like, is there a Goosebumps cover from either original or like any of the other ones that you did that you just, you know, you just had a blast doing that? Just like, you would look at it and say, you know what, I really like the way this came out.
I always like, so it's the same process even now when I do them, where, you know, at the beginning you get an idea and it starts out in pencil, and, you know, you'll go, okay, these concepts are good. And it's not until you start working on them on the final part and you're doing all the final rendering where they really start to come to life. And it's three quarters of the way through the art where that's when you can start to go, oh, yeah, this is really working. And that's when I get the most excited about them. And it's before you finish is when you're the most excited about it. And then, you know, you finish it off and it's already starting to taper off a little bit, even as you're finishing up the painting. So there's, you know, it's super rare that I go, oh, you know, that piece I don't like at all. I don't have any of those in the Goosebumps series. But there's a bunch of them that I like. And, you know, if you ask me what my favorite is, it's going to change every time you and I talk. If we talk, you know, six times over the course of the year, I'm going to say six different books every time we talk. So right now, off the top of my head, I like The Blob That Ate Everyone. Yeah, I like that, you know. And one of the reasons why I like that, which goes back to what I was just talking about, was when I did the pencil sketches for that, it looked more like a baked potato than anything scary. And I'm going, well, this isn't working. There's nothing scary about a baked potato coming down the street. And so it wasn't until we got the colors all going and got the pinks and the veins and all the gooey stuff coming out of his mouth before it actually came to life.
Perfect, man. Perfect. I love it already. Speaking of which, we need to get somebody to now write a scary story with baked potatoes. I think that would be amazing. That would be amazing. That would be. Oh, man. I know I said The Werewolf of Fever Swamp and The Haunted Mask are some of my favorites. I can't even. Like, I love The Blob That Ate Everyone, too. The way The Blob looked so menacing, too. And we were just talking how you wished the purple worms had a dominant one. So it would have been more interesting to see, like, what the dominant worm would have been in that type of perspective. God, what's another good one that I used to love, too? I can see it in my head, but what is the name of it? It was...
Tell me what it is. I'll tell me what it looks like, and I can. I'll pull out the name.
It was like aliens in a bathroom, like slugs or something in the.
Yeah, that was Monster Blood 4.
Thank you, Monster Blood 4.
Yeah, that was actually the last one in the classic series, number 62, and I like those guys, but that's it. That's so. That's why when I think about Go Eat Worms, I'm thinking more like that one, where there's a whole bunch of those little guys everywhere in the bathroom, but there's a main one in the front where you can really see what he's all about. So,
I love it. I guess, Tim, going forward, like, so obviously you still sort of do covers, like, I don't know how often anymore, because, you know, obviously time change, you know, everybody kind of gets busy with their own life and stuff, but you know, like, I guess, what are you still looking for, like, project to work on? I know we kind of mentioned Frightland one that you did one cover for. So I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, are you still trying to do some more illustration for covers?
Yeah, I've never stopped doing covers. I just finished up a piece just recently. I've got a few more that are getting ready to get started. It's nice now because I can pick and choose what I want to do. No, I've never lost the excitement to do them. It's just not the same, you know, it's not the same grind as what RL and I used to do. You know, I'm not putting out one a month, but, I'm easily doing two pieces, doing one every 2 months. And, but, you know, it's a little bit of everything, some album covers, some cards, there's still some book covers, but it's a little bit of everything, and that's kind of exciting too, because different formats, and but everybody's still, you know, when I get someone reaching out, they're still looking for that classic Goosebumps style. You know, they're, you know, that's what they want it to look like. Like I said, I've done hundreds of books that don't even look like Goosebumps, but when people reach out now, that's that's the style they want me to reproduce.
Well, I mean, I can't really not say I don't blame them, but I mean, but
oh, I don't blame them either. Yeah, no, I get it. I 100% get it.
Yeah, I mean, like I was telling you a little bit, like, you know, when I thought you were part of that Frightland and you were doing one cover, and I just looked at all the covers, even though you only did one of them, but between all four covers that they have,
there was some good ones in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was amazing. Like how could you not get excited? You know, it was almost like Christmas as a kid all over again. It was just like, yes. I mean, so speaking of which, so yeah, you were saying you and RL had one coming out like every month. Now, how did that work for like you too? So was Scholastics wanting you to have a certain cover done per month, or like how did, like, did he want?
Yeah, it was a real, you know, days of the week, you know, were very important. You know, RL had to have, you know, he had to be starting on such and such a date, he had to have this much of the book done by this time, we began our discussions at this week, and then the art had to be produced and had to be finished on this day. And there was, that was not negotiable. Like, it had to be done. Like, if the day was Friday, it needed to be done on Friday, and I needed to get that thing packaged up and over to Federal Express, and it had to be handed to the art director the next morning, and because the next one was coming. So it was a, you know, you couldn't fall behind. And again, RL had the heavier lift, but it was there was a lot going on. And I did more covers at that time. For other book series. So I was working on Goosebumps, which was a regular thing, and then I was doing other covers at the same time. So yeah, it's a job, you know, you get up and you got to make the donuts, and you had to get stuff done. And but it was never, you know, I've done a lot of different jobs growing up and as a kid, and, you know, even as an adult, where, you know, there's hard jobs out there. And sure, there were times where it got stressful or you had to put in a lot of extra hours to get something done. But, you know, again, I'm in a house and there's a roof over my head, and, you know, I've dug some ditches before. I've carried bricks as a laborer on a mason, you know, with a mason, I know what hard work is, and this isn't that hard. So, sometimes it was, you know, there was a strain to it, but it's not hard.
Perfect. Perfect. Going into your art a little bit, so you mentioned sketches and stuff. So is that how you always do your artwork? Like, you start with sketches first, and then I don't know what your process would be from there. I know some nowadays, they sketch first and then they scan it or something to get it into the Photoshop to make it pop that way. I mean, do you prefer what some people like now, which is, you know, they just do everything on the computer?
Yeah. So because the Goosebumps series was happening in the 90s, digital art really hadn't become something that everybody could do. It was in its infancy, and, you know, only bigger companies had the ability or the technology to do it, and it wasn't something that was affordable to any of us. So I learned how to draw and paint, you know, the traditional way. And the original Goosebumps artwork was acrylic paintings, 20 inches by 20 inches, a combination of brush and airbrush. Airbrush gave it that nice polished look to it and smoothed everything out. And, but then, in the, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, digital art came along, and the publishers actually gave us kind of an ultimatum, saying, listen, in, you know, you got a couple of years to get it together, but as of this date, which was, you know, 2 years down the road, all your art has to be digital, because it's so much easier from a publishing and printing point of view to have your art not be tangible. And, you know, it takes out a number of pain in the neck steps to getting things done. So, you know, I had to relearn what I was doing. But I always wanted my digital art to look like my traditional art. And the thing that I found was the best was to do that, what you described as your first example, where I start outside the computer with a pencil on my desk with paper, and I start to draw the same way I used to draw when I was doing Goosebumps, same way they taught me to draw when I was in art school. And I construct my images that way. I get them to a point where they're, you know, they're real, they're pretty tight. And then I scan them into the computer. And yeah, I use Photoshop, and I use one of those Wacom tablets, which it's a Surface. And, you know, I have this pen. And so I'm still drawing and moving my hands in the same fashion I would be moving them when I would do it traditionally. So the art that is now digital still has a real traditional feel to it, because I'm doing a lot of the things the same way I used to do them. The thing that's wonderful is the, you know, the undo button. There was no undo button in the airbrush. So now if the job is commercial, meaning if you hired me to do your album cover or your book cover, it's going to be digital art. But if you're hiring me to paint you a painting that you're going to hang up in your living room, well, I'll go back and do traditional art, because, you know, it's going to be something that hangs on your wall. And it warrants, you know, to do it the old-fashioned way.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, so this would be a good example. So, like, I'm recollecting Goosebumps just because
tough
I have...
Tough ones out there, right?
Huh?
Some tough ones to find, right?
I actually have all the original ones.
All right.
I have a list thing going on. So I just got all the originals. I have some of the Give Yourself. I'm missing some of the Series 2000, stuff like that. I've got a list online that a book that I need to complete my collection kind of thing. And but the first thing I really wanted to tackle was the original, because once again, your artwork, and it was around my childhood. So it was like, you know, that nostalgia feeling. So now as, you know, with the new artist, I can't even think of his name right now. And anyway, that does the covers for Goosebumps now, which he doesn't do bad, but no, like,
he's excellent.
Yeah. And well, I don't want to say bad, but I see what he's doing. Like, he's keeping it nice and simple. You know, he just had the whatever the villain is, and that's going to be told in the story, and that's all you get. Where you kind of made it more like, here's the creature, and then here's the atmosphere behind
it. Here's where he lives. Yeah.
So, but you can appreciate both forms, right? So, like, you can definitely tell something where it's digitally drawn, I would say, like with the newer covers versus, you know, like the original, where you could almost tell it was sketched and you know, the old, I don't want to call it the old way, but basically the way that we all
you
use
can call it
do.
The old way.
But I think, I don't know. I just, I think digital, like the way digital things are nowadays, it doesn't have the same effect to me as if it was the old way being done.
So I, you know, because I do both, I can see, you know, I can see both sides of the coin. And, you know, the practicality of digital, it just makes the business roll and go smoother. But there's nothing as cool as there is a, you know, like, you can't really see anything in the room here, but I have originals hanging up on the wall, and I can take it down and hold it in my hand, and if you wanted it or I wanted to give it to you, when I handed it to you, you would have the original, and it was a tangible thing that you could hold and hang up, and there was only one. There was one original. In the digital world, it's all mushy. You know, like, I can make hundreds of the same thing, thousands, millions, and they all look exactly the same, and you can't tell other than if, you know, I certified it, and, you know, like an NFT, and then it becomes that. But that's not the same. You know, the tangible hold in your hand thing, that's cool.
And speaking of which, perfect way to also add to what you just said, like as if you were handing me something. So when Frightland were doing their crowdfund, they actually had the original drawing that you did for that cover.
Right. I forgot. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody did that tier, but I hope they did. So, because I mean, that would have been a nice piece of a treasure, I would say.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's it. And again, that's a tangible piece of art. It is the sketch that I used before I scanned the, you know, that got scanned into the computer before I covered it, colored it. So yeah, that's that was a cool thing to auction off.
For sure. And you know what? I'll just mention it too, since we're kind of talking about sketches and prints now, is so you have your own website for your studio and stuff like that, where you offer prints and custom sketches or something, or like you request a sketch is what I should say. That was one cover I haven't seen yet for print, but I understand Goosebumps is the well-known one.
Yeah, it's not like Frightland. You know, it's to do it the way I do it, it's expensive to add new prints. I mean, I would love to add, you know, new prints every day, every week, but it's expensive. So I can only add so many, you know, I have to sell so many. And then when we reach the threshold, then I can afford to buy, you know, two more. So I try to add two at a time. It only happens a couple of times a year. I think we're up to a dozen different Goosebumps covers. I hope to branch out and get some other ones up there and to keep on expanding it. But it's a nice way for people to get themselves an inexpensive piece of my artwork, and then I do hand sign everything before it goes out, so you get a custom autograph on that print, and something nice to hang on the wall.
And not just that, it comes in a beautiful envelope and a beautiful protector for your little art print that you send out, or
So and the, you know, and then the real motivator for me, at least, to get the whole thing going.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, is that, you know, $10 from every sale goes to the purchase of food for the food bank down the street. And the one that I just delivered on Saturday was the biggest delivery we ever had. And I always post pictures of the truck with all the food in the back, so you can see where that, you know, we're not just handing over a check. We're actually loading the truck and getting stuff. And the people at the food bank are very happy. And, you know, so what has happened, and I'm not saying it's because I'm doing this, but the food bank is growing, and they used to only offer services to our town because they didn't have enough food to offer it up. And now we've got enough food coming in now that they've opened it up to the whole county. So people from surrounding towns can come, and they're helping out many, many more families, get some food. And that's just a, you know, that's a nice thing. So you can get yourself a print and you can help help do something good.
You can't argue with that. I mean, you're basically, it's like a win-win no matter what, no matter how you look at it. And you're helping people eat. And unfortunately, in this time of aid, you kind of...
Yeah, well, that's how it got started. It was during the pandemic. And, you know, we all wondered for a while what was going to happen, especially at the beginning. And my business wasn't, you know, really, it was affected, but not in any major way. And then you start to see how many people were showing up to places like the food bank, and that the lines got long, and people who had never needed assistance all of a sudden did. And I was like, well, you know, got to be able to do something. And I've been actually, you know, I didn't think we would, not that I didn't know Goosebumps was popular, but I didn't know we would sell a decent amount of prints. And, you know, like you say, we filled up more than a you know, my pickup was more than full this last month. So it's nice to be able to do something.
Yeah, I can't even top that. So I'm just going to stop right there. I mean, you know, like, everybody was affected during pandemic. Well, some people. I know some people did have to work it, but they got the disaster pay and stuff like that. Yeah, it was what a weird year. Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I ended up ordering the Werewolf of Fever Swamp from you, just because of the fact that, you know, $10 was for this, $10 went to help the need, as I put it, which is, you know, like, what better way to really support anybody really for something like that versus, you know, kind of how you were saying, it's not like you were just pocketing change and just you'd be like, oh, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this, but it was just basically like, it's just a nice way to really be like, you know what? Because of what he's doing, I want to buy more. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, at some point, Tim, you will be seeing another order come through.
Oh, that's cool. And me, you know, that's nice, because we started the thing. I just made up a number and said, okay, we're gonna charge this much for posters, and you know, we'll give $10, and it. we don't make a lot of money here. It's just like, oh man, you know, and my son helps me a great deal, and it's him and I, we do everything. And so I'm glad that, you know, that it is really helpful when people buy multiples, because then we can make some money. So yeah, that's great. So I'm glad you feel that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know you were just talking about adding new prints, and I think one of the new ones you just added was the Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns or something like that.
Right, Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns and Shocker on Shock Street.
Okay, so that was the other new one. I thought I was there before, so I couldn't remember what was new. You have so many good ones that I'm just like, oh, I just want them all.
Well, that's funny too, because I get tons of, I get, you know, people order, and then I send out an email that says your order's on the way, and then people write back and go, you know what one I really want is, you know, name your cover. And it's just like, yeah, I know. I'm trying, man. I'll get there. I'll get there eventually. We'll get up. We'll hopefully, if everything goes well, they'll all be there at some point.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
We're a long way. We're a long way away. Well, no, not really. We're, you know, we got a dozen under our belt, and there's 62, so it's not impossible.
You got like a third there, so we're all good. I mean, yeah, it would take some time. You know what might actually help you too, since you're talking about maybe helping you get money too, in a way of, like, you know, helping the need at the same time, is, have you thought about maybe doing like a print bundle? Like, do a bundle for them?
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I haven't structured that, but that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no,
that's,
I just think,
good idea.
Yeah, I just think it's usually better that way, because, like, you know, sometimes it might even help you in the long run of getting more print, I believe, would be the best way that I'm trying to say this. But yeah, I mean, it's a great way to get more people's attention too. So it's like, oh, I can get, what to say, all 12 for just amount.
Right, right, right.
Now I have them all.
Yeah, you know? That's a good idea. No, I didn't even. Yep. Well, see, look what just came out of this. Now I got something to think about.
Wow, I'm glad. And you'll have to let me know when Frightwind you get a print too, because I'd love that
there
one.
There you go. All right.
And stuff like that. Well, I Tim, I don't, you know, I'm kind of drawing blanks here, and it's been a day and a half already here. So, is there anything that I haven't really mentioned that you would like to talk about for a minute? Like, is there something that you are just itching to maybe mention here with me? Like,
you know, just again, I touched on it at the beginning. I'm so humbled by the fact that we're 30 years past the, you know, the start date of Goosebumps, and you're a grown man now, and you read that stuff as a kid, but you're still interested, and people are still interested. It's not just you. This is an anomaly, and the fact that people are still like Goosebumps and are excited by it, and it holds a special place in your memory, that's really awesome, and that doesn't go unnoticed and unappreciated.
Oh, thank you for everything that you've done to help us get scared as we were younger anyway with the cover. So it helped out a lot. But just because of you saying growing older and stuff like that, so I gotta now say this. So anyway, I'm a father of almost a 3-year-old daughter, and so that's one reason why I wanted to start to recollect Goosebumps again, because dumbass me sold all my original copies a long time ago or something like that, because of a move, my family was divorced, something happened, so I let my Goosebumps go. But anyway, the point to this is, like, the fact that R.L. Stine is also still writing, and he's, you know, he's always one of my favorite kid authors. You know, you always wanted to grab the next thing. And like, as you were saying, and we were saying kind of earlier, you guys were just bombing out like one a month, and that had to just been, I don't want to say an eyesore, but man, that had to have been a pretty
rad time. We were cranking.
But the point to this is, like, you know, now, you know, because my parents and my grandparents that bought these Goosebumps books for me, I can now do, like, the same thing with my daughter. I can almost enjoy the same moment of, like, my parents, you know, giving me that book to be like, oh, I want to read this. Because let's all be honest, right? Like, little kids don't want to read, but if you put something like Goosebumps or something that they really enjoy in front of them, they will read.
Absolutely.
So I guess, Tim, like, to kind of help wrap things up too, is for those that are trying to start out to be an artist or even become an illustrator or anything to that in the art world, what is maybe a couple key pointers that you would suggest for them to start off with taking that first step into that process?
So it's kind of, you know, like, so things that I did, you know, 40 years ago to get into the business aren't relevant anymore, because, you know, it's a digital world and you got cell phones and social media, and you can get your work seen in many different ways. The one thing that you can do, it's just like anything else. All right, we're going to equate getting started in, you know, doing, getting your art career going to, I need to lose 10 pounds. And you got to, and it's that simple. You got to go, okay, I don't want to, but when I get home from work, I'm going to put on my sneakers and I'm going to go for a walk. and I'm going to, just at the beginning, I'm going to walk a mile, but I'm going to do it every day. And you got it. And then you go, okay, hey, mile's not so bad. I'm going to walk 2 miles. And I do that every day. And you have to approach your art in that same fashion. You have to carve out specific time every day and do that thing and make it part of your life. And if you do that, it's incredible how fast you'll get better, because you're not waiting long periods of time and things that are gelling in your head. You're going to sit down later on that day and advance on those things. And at the beginning, it's really tremendous, because you get better in leaps and bounds at the beginning that, you know, that are very impressive. So treat your art like you would anything else. If you're an Olympic athlete or anything else, carve out the time, and you will see a difference very, very fast.
All right, I'm not going to touch that.
And it doesn't have to be a wild amount of time. I'm serious. 15 minutes, a half an hour. Start that small. And it will, you will see a difference in a month.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that. That's good advice already. So, all right, let me start this 10-mile hike. I mean, I'm sorry. I should probably not start that right away, because then I'll probably not get anywhere really fast, because I'll probably just want nap time all the time, but that's all right. Well, you know what? I almost forgot about this, Tim. So this will be my last thing. So recently, R.L. Stine came out with the new adult comic Stuff of Nightmares.
Yeah.
You actually did a variant cover for it.
I did.
Which, I actually just picked up at a comic book shop that I ordered from. So, just real quick, like, you know, what would the process with that? You know, you and R.L. Stine again.
Yeah, well, somebody, you know, so the art director at Boom Comics, who's the publisher, you know, had been working with R.L. and he was like, well, let's, you know, R.L. has been a, you know, he always is there. He's in my court. He'll mention my name to people, and they, the people at Boom bit, and they gave me one. This is the second variant cover that I've done for R.L. through Boom, one for Stuff of Nightmares, and the other series was called Scare School. And I love working with RL, and it's the same setup. He's, you know, the book's not done. He gives me a synopsis. I come up with three ideas, and away we go. And it's like old times.
Amazing. So I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really recorded an episode on Stuff of Nightmares yet with just a couple friends that have read it, and I kind of want to just because of this, but I'll just throw it right here on this recording with you. So I am sort of curious, but at the same time, like, I don't really want to know the answer, but I want to know the answer. But it's Mr. Nightmare. Mm-hmm. in the story, I should say. So as we kind of gradually started to unveil more features of Mr. Nightmare, like with the glasses, this and that, sort of even the structure of his, I'm just going to say face, even though it is kind of like more like a silhouette.
Yep.
But, God, for some reason, when I was looking at this, I was like, did R.L. Stine kind of make him kind of be like he is Mr. Nightmare? Like, you know, oh, what like I'm saying?
Self-portrait?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I now I have to go back and look. I don't know.
Because
that's interesting.
Well, you know, I've seen some recent pictures of him, pictures with him holding like Night of the Squawker, his latest Goosebumps Swappy World book.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And then I just happened to just dive right into this, and I was just like, I'm like, wow, like, why do I feel like this is supposed to be him?
Yeah. Huh. I would be surprised. That's not his style, but maybe. So, you know, the original. Now, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to go with that.
we'll just put a great big question mark on it and say we'll return to this in the future.
Hey, listen, we'll go with a big could be.
It could be. Yeah, I don't know why, but nonetheless, I mean, I loved it. I loved the cover art that you did for it, and I'm just glad to be able to actually own a copy of it now. So, once again, Tim, like, you know, thank you for your time. I appreciate you making time to even do this, to talk with me, especially as a, you know, like a fan of Goosebumps and stuff like that. So it's a, as I may say, it's an honor to really talk to you right now.
I appreciate it, Paul. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you. And if there's ever anything that I can help you with in the future of, like, I don't know, if there's anything that...
If I need to promote something, I'll reach out to you, and maybe we can, you know, jump online again, and you can help me out. But
I appreciate
the airtime.
All right, man. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and for everybody else that is listening, well, you know, don't let the gummy worms eat you in your bed, because Tim will just probably figure out a way to draw that into a book cover or something. So have a good night for everybody, and Tim, once again, thank you again.
All right, you take care.
For the last thing, everybody, stay scary.